Welcome to Level 7, Episode 77. Comics, S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2, Ant-Man number 1, and Operation Sin featuring Peggy Carter number 1.
Welcome to Level 7. A podcast about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a magical place.
Hello, agents. It's Agent Daniel Butcher. And I did have a bone to pick with someone, but now all the sevens have just got me in a good mood.
That's a lot.
Welcome
of sevens.
To Level 7, 77. And with me is the man I was going to give a big talking to. Let him introduce himself.
Agent Seven. That wasn't very good. I'm sorry about that. The sevens got me excited too, though.
When I heard those sevens, I was like, wow, that's a lot of sevens.
It is. 77 episodes, Daniel.
Lucky number 77.
77 episodes.
I think I should go out and play the lottery numbers starting with 77.
I don't know if I would do that, but.
Oh, okay. Just feeling good.
Yeah. It's good to feel good.
And hey, do you remember the time, Ben, when I was like, all I really want is Thanos to show up in an MCU movie and a tie-in comic?
I do remember that. And then you got Thanos.
Okay, and then I got S.H.I.E.L.D., and then I got Operation Sin.
Yep.
And then I read a book that you insisted that I read, and I was like, hey, this has been written for the MCU fan.
It sure has. And then we also got, like, tons of TV shows now and lots of movies. And Daniel, when you were asking for just Thanos in a comic book. Again, we have an embarrassment of riches right now.
I'm going to ask for $1 million.
Well, go play that lottery ticket and those lucky number sevens.
And I'm going to ask for a hovercraft. And just to make sure I've got myself covered, I want one of those old-timey nighty suits, you know, like a knight. But I want it to be made of solid gold.
And I want a t-shirt.
Well, one of us might get.
I think that
we want.
Hey, before we go on, should we talk a little bit about the podcast awards?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll do that up front here real quick. We are trying to be a part of the podcast awards, but we have to be nominated to get in. And we have to be nominated by lots of people. They do this in two rounds. The one round is just people go in and say, hey, I think that these people should be part of the podcast awards. And then after that, there'll be like some voting and stuff like that. So if you go to welcometolevel7.com/, I'm looking right now, podcast awards. Yeah, that's it. welcometolevel7.com/podcast awards. You'll find instructions on how you can help us to get in to the podcast awards. And the thing about getting into the podcast awards is that if we get in, it just allows for a ton of exposure. And if we win, even more exposure. But that's a whole other story. We'll talk about that later on. But if you can go to welcometolevel7.com/podcast awards, we would really, 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 really appreciate it. And it's just something that there's actually going to be other podcasts from the Noodle Mix Network that we're trying to promote as well. One of them is Once Upon a Time, their podcast. They're trying to get into the best produced segment, Beyond the To-Do List for business, the Ramen Noodle for comedy. Are You Just Watching for religion and inspiration, and the Audacity to Podcast for technology. So yeah, if you could go to, welcometolevel7.com/podcast awards, again, we would really appreciate it. And this is another way that, you could help us out to just get the word out about the podcast and get people to know about it and be able to discover us. So,
and here's the awesome thing. We're already a one-time award winner because we've already won our first award. So let's just keep that momentum moving forward.
It would be nice.
But just like last time, we can only do it if you help.
It's true. And this time, we need a lot of help. There's some pretty fierce competition out there. So we'll be talking about it more. We're going to try to keep talk to a minimum. But, you know, keep in mind, this podcast is free to you, and so you're paying for advertising. No, that's not
No.
I'm not going to try and make excuses. But we are going to try and keep talk to a minimum.
For this episode, I think I spent $8.
Actually, for this episode, I spent... You spent only $8?
Well, you gave me the code.
Oh, jerk. So you say we're reviewing three comics, and they were all $4 each. Yeah, you're right.
Which that was the bone I was going to pick with you. Why didn't you trust me when I told you it was standard that $3.99 from Marvel for 20 pages of story plus a digital code? You had to go out and ask other people. See, unlike you, I don't have certain discounts, so I know
not
how
talking,
much com-
no, hey, you are not allowed to talk about that.
I know how much I know how much comics cost. I buy them all the time. $3.99 with a digital code. No digital code, $2.99 for 20 pages.
I'll be honest, it's only because I counted the pages. It's not the price that I didn't know. It's the page count. And are we getting into it right now? Should we just jump in?
Let's go to the mission report.
Okay. Let's go to the mission report. Because that's all we're doing is mission report today.
Mission report.
Yeah, no news, although there is some stuff to talk about. And we're going to go with a shorter episode because this is a comic episode, not a TV episode. So... I counted 20 pages of story in S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2. 20 pages of story for $4. Last issue, issue number 1, there were 32 pages of story for $5. And so this is why I put it out there. It wasn't the it wasn't about the price point, it was about the number of story pages.
And you also compared it to Star Wars, which I believe was 30.
Star Wars number 1 had 30 story pages. That's if you don't include the 4 pages up front that say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, you got to count those.
Oh, so then it's 34 pages of story. If you're including the scroll, they give that exposition scroll at the beginning of the issue. And
fine, Star Wars is a better value, but over a million people bought that comic.
A lot of people.
So they can put a little more into it.
Now, I didn't count for Operation Sin, which is also $3.99, but that was also, that's a number 1 issue.
It should be about 20 pages.
One, two, three, four. Go ahead and
I really like comics, Ben, and sometimes I don't really count the number of pages. I just want to see what the story is.
16,
and 17, I really like sometimes getting the digital code, and I understand I pay a little bit
20,
extra for that.
But
when one of my
pages.
Kids said, hey, I want to read S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, Dad, I didn't give him my comic. I just pulled it up on the iPad and handed it over.
Ant-Man number 1 was a $5 comic, so I'm guessing it's probably about 32 pages because it definitely felt like a longer read.
Yep.
We'll get to Ant-Man number 1. Honestly, I wasn't expecting us to talk about Ant-Man.
Well, you insisted.
I did after I read it.
And I had strong opinions about Ant-Man before I read it.
You had strong opinions.
And after I read it, I had strong opinions too.
Are they the same?
Nope.
Okay. I had pretty ambivalent thoughts about it. I was just, okay, I'll buy it because it's obviously they're tying into the MCU hype with Ant-Man. It came out very close to the time when the Ant-Man trailer appeared on TV with Agent Carter. And so I was, yeah, let's do it. Let's take a look.
Yep.
But my thinking here is, I think we kind of have we know how we're approaching comics now in the context of Welcome to Level 7. And that is, every month that a S.H.I.E.L.D. issue comes out, we're going to do an episode about that S.H.I.E.L.D. issue. But we'll talk about other things as well. For example, Operation Sin, which is absolutely a tie-in to the Agent Carter TV series.
When
I say tie-in, I mean they're publishing it because of that series.
It comes out at the exact same time. Interesting.
Yeah.
And lasts 4 months. Interesting.
Yeah. And so Ant-Man, the same kind of thing. So with both of those, because they're related to the MCU, they fit into what we're talking about. So yeah, we're talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2. That's our primary topic. We'll start with that, and then we'll go on to the other two. So Daniel, how do you want to start? Should I give a plot synopsis?
Spoiler-free, as much as possible, plot synopsis.
Same as we did last time, where we kind of talked about things in general terms. But basically, this one's a Gemma Simmons episode, which I believe somehow you knew this last episode that we talked about comics.
Well, I read the Marvel preview. They put out a little free comic, and it tells you what's coming. And I knew she was going to high school.
Yep. She's undercover as a high school substitute teacher. And that's because there are a couple different things going on in this particular high school. One, there's a kid who just happens to be Ms. Marvel. Not to be confused with Captain Marvel.
But that's really not the real reason they're there, Ben.
No, no. The real reason they're there is because there's a couple of kids who are dealing in black market villain weapons that have been, you know, left behind after the villains have been defeated, that kind of thing. They're selling them. And so Gemma, she's in the school. She's undercover. And Coulson is her handler. And they're in contact with each other. They're texting each other. And things go awry with the weapons. And basically, the cafeteria becomes weaponized.
Worst pizza day ever.
Oh, pizza day's the day you look forward to in the cafeteria. The only times I ever bought hot lunch was pizza day. Otherwise, I was brown bagging it, man. I was brown bagging it. But pizza
funny
day,
story.
I'm there.
Funny story. My youngest, when he was in kindergarten, we did sack lunch because he's pretty picky. And then all of a sudden, I got a bill from the school that said that he owed for hot lunch. So I came to him and I said, "Son, what's going on?" And he goes, "Dad, you got to pay the pizza man." So yeah, pizza day is the day you pay.
Yeah, I'm with him. I'm with him 100%. So without saying too much about the actual villain that they're dealing with and why it's just... It was a surprise. When I turned the page and saw what was happening, I was not expecting that particular situation.
It was fun. It's also a tie-in to the MCU when you look at who created it.
What's the tie-in?
Zola.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you meant who created the villain. Yeah. Another tie-in, by the way, is Gemma Simmons' undercover name as the substitute teacher. Ms. Steranko.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah, it's written on the chalkboard. It's not written in any of the dialogue or anything like that.
So, oh, yeah. Man.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun. It is! Oh, my word.
So, originally, Coulson and Gemma were meant to try and keep the girl who is Ms. Marvel out of the situation, but she proves herself and they end up all working together. They team up. And, well, I'm not going to say if they win or not, but, you know. So, from there, where do you want to go? Because there's some interesting character stuff going on here.
Well, let's talk about some of that interesting character stuff. And it's really Gemma and Coulson's story. This is what's going on here. And the problem is with some of the character stuff with Gemma, I almost feel like we're getting more with some of Gemma's backstory than we do in the MCU. And I kept saying to myself, how much of this can I translate into the MCU?
I know. Page. Well, I'm not going to say too much, but from the first page, we're getting backstory about Gemma. And Gemma's backstory ties into some of the stuff that Ms. Marvel is dealing with as a young teenage superhero.
The thrust of it, and I think it's safe to say this much, is both Gemma and Miss Marvel have issues with their parents and the fact that they are hiding something from them. In Gemma's case, she's hiding the fact that she's a level 5 S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yes, and in Miss Marvel's case, she's hiding that she's a superhero.
So, you know, they both understand what it is to be dishonest for good reasons with someone that you care about. And they also understand the strain of it. The other thing that I found interesting about it is it makes it clear that Gemma's strain has been going on for a while. She's not just fresh-faced to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Where Miss Marvel's experience with it is much more recent. She's only, what, 10 issues in currently?
Is she? I'm not reading that series, so.
I'd have to go downstairs and take them from my oldest child, who would yell at me.
Well, we don't want to do that then.
Hey, here's a funny thing about this issue, Ben. I don't think you know this.
I don't know
I had
this.
To buy two copies of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I had a conversation with my oldest, who is in love with Miss Marvel, the series, and I said, "Hey, Miss Marvel's going to be in S.H.I.E.L.D. And I got a response of, "Well, I want to read that." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to buy one." And the oldest said, no, you're going to buy me one because I have a collection now.
Oh.
And Miss Marvel's in it. So the funny thing is next issue with Spider-Man,
yes.
Not interested. You know, we'll be more than willing to read mine. But since this one had Miss Marvel in it, not only wanted to read it, but wanted their own. And I mean, maybe that's something we should think about with this story. When you're advertising these heroes, we may see sales spikes at times. We already pointed out, both you and me, to our friend time traveler Matt Anderson, that in the next issue we have Spider-Man,
and I'm wondering
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, because the bottom blurb says "Die Strange." Next, "Die Strange."
But then the picture has Spider-Man in it.
Right. So they turn it and it says "Next Mission: Curse of the Spider-Man." That's on the full page blurb ad that we get. So
it really does make me wonder if we'll see sales ebbs and flows just because of the fact people might be buying it just for the hero is because, again, in my case, I bought two copies for my household because of Ms. Marvel.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, this is like we're getting back to the idea of Marvel team up with Spider-Man. We're getting back to the idea of Marvel 2-in-1 with the Thing, you know, back in the 70s and 80s with those two. And this is Marvel team up with Coulson and superheroes. And honestly, it scratches some itches that I've been wanting to be scratched from the TV show.
It's true. Like, this Coulson is so good in the sense of this is some good portrayal of Coulson. And he's doing things that we want to see him do in the sense of being a mentor and protective and caring.
And working with established heroes in the case of the Marvel Universe, if it was, you know, in the MCU, it would be probably, you know, newer heroes or heroes who've been working under the radar for a long time. But still, the same kind of thing. This is the kind of thing that I think a lot of people were expecting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be. So it's interesting. And again, with issue two, I recommend it. I like the themes that are playing here. I don't know Ms. Marvel. I don't know her backstory. I don't know anything about her other than she has some sort of stretchy powers and she's really new to the scene. But I like what I learn about her. I learned that she is a hero groupie.
She is.
She runs blogs and message boards about superheroes. She's out there and connecting with people. She knows details about supervillains and their weapons. She knows details about events.
in her before she became Ms. Marvel, you'll love this. You'll love it. She wrote superhero fan fiction.
Did she write Great Lakes Avengers fan fiction?
I don't know.
She was reading my Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah, maybe she might. But I mean, when you talk about that she loves superheroes almost as much as this MCU Coulson does, she really does. I mean, I don't think Coulson's written fan fiction. But you get this interaction where, you know, you basically see these two trying to one-up each other at certain points. And she does have legitimate cred.
She does. She does. And she has a connection with Coulson. She has a connection with Simmons. It's a thematic connection. It's an emotional connection. The theme of this issue really draws from that connection that they have. And it's really interesting. You know, Coulson says, "I wanted to keep your world a little smaller. That's why we didn't want you to get involved. We've been watching you. We think you're great. We just wanted to keep your world a little bit smaller for as long as we could." That's protectiveness. That's a parent saying, "You know what? It's a big world. You can thrive, but that doesn't mean we have to throw you out there." It's good stuff. I'm enjoying this issue. But it's 20 pages a story for $4? Come on.
It's almost – when you get back to that, that's almost what we wanted him to do with Sky at times at season one.
It is.
Yeah, because he really does – he basically tells her, you know, you're really, really capable. But you don't have to be yet. You don't have to be out there yet. And I know all about you because she – you know, because even – mentors her on her abilities because she is brand spanking new as far as a hero. She's just a baby hero. So he's giving her suggestions and he it really is. It almost brought a tear to my eye when he tells her what he wants for her. Because he doesn't want her to be an Avenger. You know what I mean?
Right.
He wants her to be a kid.
And well, you know what happens when you're a parent who tries to hold your kid back though? They're going to end up going out there, and if she's not going to be an Avenger, She's going to be pretty darn close, I'm predicting. But that's Sky. We're not talking about Sky. We're talking about Ms. Marvel. Yeah. Daniel, what's your final verdict here on S.H.I.E.L.D. number two?
I really liked it. Again, I haven't read a lot of Mark Waid. I thought that this was a great one-and-done story, and this one truly is one-and-done. We didn't get that other mythology part in here.
Certainly did not feel that there was any – yeah. There wasn't anything more with this threat, with the MacGuffin here.
I was a little concerned with the fact that we're changing pencils because now we have Humberto Ramos who takes over here for issue number two. And I don't even remember if he's in issue number three.
I'm guessing we're going to get a different artist every issue.
But you know what? You know what? It didn't really bug me, the art change. And I didn't really ever say to myself, oh, this is a completely different artist. There's a nice shot of Miss Marvel that's well done where she's sitting in a classroom where it's like that looks like the character from the Miss Marvel comics. That looks like her. So, yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, we're looking at an anthology book here. This is I think it seems to me single writer from what I understand for a little while, but different artists every issue and different team up. So, all right. So Operation Sin number one.
Well, this story might sound familiar to you.
Maybe.
It might. Well, actually, let me find who's writing all this good stuff first.
Well, it's Stuart Immonen. There we go. Immonen.
Who's – I believe I've seen him do some Punisher.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's not Stuart.
No, Black Widow.
Catherine Immonen. Immonen.
Whoa. I don't know what Catherine Immonen's done.
I don't either.
But I think her husband's done Black Widow.
And Rich Ellis. Wait, so I look at the cover and I'm thinking, Immonen, Ellis, I know these people. I look at the credits on the inside, I don't know either of them. Oh, well.
Well, there you go. But this story may sound familiar. It's after the war. In this case, the 1950s. And Peggy Carter has transitioned to post resistance fighter from World War II, post Captain America girlfriend, living in the suburbs. Looks like she might not be transitioning as well as you might think. And then an attack occurs on her house. Guys come to get her. And we basically begin this story where, I don't know, a dude named Howard Stark, does this seem at all familiar, pulls her into an international conspiracy.
Yeah.
And
although
then
her international conspiracy involves alien tech and lots of explosions.
And Woodward McCord.
Who is that?
This is the third instance of Woodward McCord. And we have done a comic review of a comic file of both of his appearances.
You've reviewed this on our website.
So Woodward
McCord. Blog post.
Yes. Woodward McCord in Original Sin is the unseen before Nick Fury. So he was in charge of protecting Earth from threats, including aliens, interdimensional, and magical.
So when you saw him in those comic books, what was the time period you were seeing him in?
So in Original Sin number one, you see him die.
Okay. And when was this?
In your what?
When was that?
I want to say it's in the 60s.
Okay.
Because it would have been in the time period in which Nick Fury was actually a CIA agent, pre-Shield.
Okay.
Because that is when the transition occurs from McCord to Fury. And it's facilitated, spoilers, by Howard Stark.
So we're seeing him then 10 years before
exactly
those events.
And then the other instance, and it's going to seem like a weird instance, there's an Original Sin annual. And you're saying to yourself, an Original Sin annual? This is pretty weird.
I am. I'm seeing that exact thing.
Well, you should be because it's a miniseries with its own annual.
Okay.
And really what the annual is it's the story of how Woodward McCord became the Unseen and some of the things that he did as the Unseen. And he does not like aliens.
So he shows up in this comic. I have no idea who this guy is. I have no idea his importance. Daniel, if I may be so bold, the cover to Operation Sin looks like such an incredible book. You got Peggy Carter, a target sighted on her. She's got a gun in her hand pointed at someone off the page. We don't know who it is. You have Howard Stark standing there, a nice fedora on his head, and a great big giant ray gun in his hands. And then you have a dude with a beard and a jetpack.
And that's and totally a laser gun. Totally Woodward McCord.
Blasting across the bottom there. And I'm thinking to myself, there's three awesome people in this book. None of this happens in this book, Daniel.
None of this.
I'm thinking, I'm ready for a rollicking pulp fiction adventure. You know, a pulpy sci-fi detective noirish type of thing.
I think it's coming.
I hope so, because honestly, next, case number two, it says bear fighting. The cover of the next issue has Peggy just decking Howard Stark, and it has Woodward. Is that his name?
Yeah, Woodward McCord.
He's getting ready to punch a bear.
Well, he would. He's Woodward McCord.
Okay.
But and here's so the thing. You know what makes me want to read issue number two?
That cover that they're teasing me with. Issue number one does not want... I don't care.
See, here's my problem. And we talk about this every once in a while. We talk about it in Comic Files. Sometimes issue number ones are so much set up that they just don't get you excited.
And that's what this whole thing is. It's set up, but I don't even know what it's setting up. And it's bringing in like that Woodward guy. I have no idea who he is, why he's important. Peggy doesn't either, granted. And she is our entry character into this story. So we're going to discover along with her. And then the other thing is, you know how we talk about Angie on Agent Carter?
Angie from Hydra?
Yeah. Who may or may not be from Hydra. There's obviously a bad person. Obviously. I don't know how Peggy is not picking up on this.
Are you talking about Nikita, Tanya from to Leviathan? She's totally Tanya from Leviathan.
Okay, well, whatever. This person here in this issue, she's obviously a baddie. And how is that not... Why was that not brought up yet?
But she totally knows.
Does she?
Yeah,
she's bringing her along. Is this the kind of thing where, you know, keep your enemies close kind of thing? Or
Yes.
Yeah. It seems to me you just say, you know what? I'm going to punch this broad out because she's obviously evil.
Well, and she might lead her to something.
That's true.
You are right. I want to see Woodward McCord punch a bear.
Seriously.
So do you know where this will work great at, to be honest?
No.
This will work fine in the trade.
I actually, you're probably right.
Because it'll work fine in the trade because you get done with the setup issue and then you immediately flow into the next story.
My final verdict on this issue is that I am not interested in number two other than dude with a beard punching a bear. So I'm fully on board for that. Not that I advocate violence against animals. But in a comic book, a dude punching a bear is pretty awesome.
Hey, speaking of misleading...
Yes.
What color hair does Peggy have on the cover?
Gray.
Gray?
Yeah.
But gray. What did you assume?
Red.
See, and I assumed that she was a brunette because of Agent Carter.
Oh, she's blonde.
And then you get in, and it's definitely the blonde version from the Captain America Peggy Carter comic that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing is this Howard Stark is definitely channeling... good old Tony.
Yeah, and you know what? Obviously, they're setting this up because of there's a Carter TV series. As we are moving into this, yeah, I think we're going to say I wouldn't recommend issue number one, but I'd recommend the series. I'm hoping that's what's going to happen, or I recommend buying the trade. But right now, I'm kind of left cold on it.
And right at the moment, I like S.H.I.E.L.D. better if I had to pick between the two. But I'm keeping it on my pull list.
So let's talk about another comic book then, Daniel.
Oh, so can I just tell you something?
Ant-Man, written by Nick Spencer. Art by Ramon Rosanas. Colored by Jordan Boyd. Lettered by VCs, Travis Lanham. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't like Ant-Man. Okay. I don't like Scott Lang.
I find him
really boring.
Scott Lang is not the irredeemable Ant-Man, though, right?
No, he's the current Ant-Man, though. Who's irredeemable?
Irredeemable, I think, is the third. I think this is the guy who was the second Ant-Man.
That sounds right.
And then the fourth Ant-Man, I think. Because
yeah, Scott Lang is just so vanilla. I understand that he's supposed to be this bad boy former thief, but he's just so vanilla.
Well, Daniel, I went into this. I had read his first appearance. I actually own his first appearance. Accidentally. I bought it because it looked interesting and then found out, oh, it's the first appearance of this Ant-Man that nobody cares about. I like the idea of Ant-Man. I like the idea of the shrinking hero. And I like the idea of being able to talk to and control ants.
I agree. Sometimes Ray Palmer's interesting.
Yes, exactly. And so give him a helmet to control ants, and you've got a decent thing going there if it was Ray Palmer, maybe. Sword of the Atom is a great series, by the way. I highly, highly recommend that trade paperback if you can find it. It's a really interesting fantasy superhero thing. Well, we're talking about Ant-Man right now. And yeah. I'm going to sum up this issue as a pretty simple, high concept. Washed up, C-rate superhero is trying to get a job for Stark Industries with Tony Stark, Iron Man. He's going through a job interview that requires not just the interview process, but also to prove your abilities as someone who can infiltrate Stark's place. So that would prove that you can stop people from infiltrating. I mean, basically, he's interviewing for a securities position. While he's doing this because he needs to prove himself to his ex-wife that he's responsible enough to spend more time with his daughter. And so you have the daughter-father relationship, you have the ex-husband, ex-wife relationship, and you have the guy who's desperate to get a job so he's not just some layabout loser that can't stay in one place for too long. They call it out as that he runs away, basically. He leaves things before they're done. So it doesn't sound very exciting. But there's interesting twists, an interesting emotional core, and I found myself really enjoying it. Daniel, I don't want to read issue number 2 because I think it's going to, as the series continues, I think it's going to ruin the goodwill that this issue one, this pilot episode, so to speak, of Scott Lang Ant-Man. There's just so much good to this story. I was so surprised. I was blown away as I read it. This is the best comic book I've read all year. Granted, we're not even out of January yet, but still. This is a really, really good issue. It's very, very strong. I was so surprised. And there's some goofy parts, and there's some parts where I'm just like, eh, whatever, you know. But the heart is there. The love that this father has for his daughter.
Who was dead and now is back alive.
Which I didn't even know. Which explains a lot about why the ex-wife is very protective of her daughter. Apparently she's died because of all the superhero stuff. But here's the thing. You don't have to know all that stuff. All the background that they give you, it's kind of interesting. It's funny. All of it gets into the idea of he doesn't stay anywhere one place long enough. This is why he became Ant-Man, to save his daughter. So, Daniel
doesn't stay at one place long enough. He ran the Fantastic Four.
For how long?
He was the head of the school for the entire Matt Fraction run, which was super boring. But he ran the school, and I'm sitting here the whole time thinking to myself, he's looking for a job? What, Reed Richards doesn't have a severance package for him? Can't put a fella up in a room for a bit?
Daniel, I don't care about any of that backstory stuff. It's not needed here. And it might be retconning it, but it's similar to what they did with Coulson. If you take this issue...
But they mentioned that he had a Fantastic Four job in this issue.
If you take this issue for what it is, and only for what it is, and not for... It's really, really strong to me.
Hey, and what about his girlfriend? The rock star slash occasional thing? Maybe she was called...
There's a picture of a person with a thing body and a female's head?
Yeah, I think she might have been called She-Thing.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
It was like an exosuit thing that they put together for her because they made her a member of the Fantastic Four, but she didn't have powers. So she was like a rock star.
That's kind of awkward.
She used to be Johnny's girlfriend, so that was weird. But, you know, they mentioned Darla. But, you know, he just makes these choices without considering Darla at all. Again, I guess his daughter came back from the dead, but, you know. I did enjoy the fact that the new Beetle was in here from Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which is fantastic.
Well, Daniel.
Okay, so there's all my hate against it, and you had to force me to read this comic. I refused to pay money for this comic.
Yeah.
Now you want to hear my comment?
I do, because
it's surprisingly good.
There it is.
It is actually a very good story. And I'm saying that as someone who has a lot of not goodwill towards the Scott Lang Ant-Man. It's a lot of character, but it's interesting. It is interesting.
Yep. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I highly recommend this single issue. I don't know if I'm going to read number two. I might. I might not. But
here's the guarantee.
What's the guarantee?
If we don't read number two, which I'm totally not, 9 months from now, I'll check out the trade and we'll make it a comic file.
Okay. So it'll be a blog post on our blog. But I've already got too many monthly issues. And yes, this is tied into our MCU in that there's an Ant-Man movie coming out. But yeah.
I will argue this. Just like Guardians of the Galaxy with its relaunch for now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get some sales out of the fact that there's some interest in a movie. So it is the Marvel 616 Ant-Man, but the reason he gets his own title now instead of being hidden on the FF like he was is because Ant-Man has got trailers out there. So when somebody actually goes to a comic store and is like, I wonder what I would pick up, they'll see Ant-Man and be like, oh, a movie's coming.
Yep. And yeah,
So this is my guarantee. This comic will not be canceled until after Ant-Man premieres.
Well, they have to get some stuff on the shelf. And if the Ant-Man movie – well, let me put it this way. With Iron Man, I felt like when the Iron Man movie first came out, there was no Iron Man comics to live up to that movie. At least with this Iron Man issue – or this Ant-Man issue, I feel like they're going to have at least one trade – one that's going to live up to it and not confuse people, because this Ant-Man looks like the Ant-Man I saw in the trailer that they showed during Agent Carter. You saw him sitting next to his daughter who's dying in bed, and you see him, you know, he's a thief and all that kind of thing. So
why did he steal it?
Yeah. So
why did Hank Pym say you could keep it? It's all in here.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Very good. I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to give people two links that you can go to. If you like us talking about comic stuff, go to comicbooktimemachine.com, where our most recent episode is yet to be recorded. It's actually going to be posted before this episode is going to be posted. So you'll hear Daniel and me and our good friend and co-host Matt Anderson talk about Star Wars issue number one from Marvel Comics. That is at comicbooktimemachine.com. You can also please go to welcometolevel7.com/podcastawards, where you can find information about how to nominate our podcast for the entertainment category in the podcast awards. We really appreciate that. Daniel, you have a link that you'd like to share with people, don't you? Someplace else they can find you?
Yeah, BetweenDisney.com, where I often and occasionally talk about comics.
And Daniel reviews comics sometimes on BeyondDisney.com. Well, not Beyond Disney. BetweenDisney.com.
BetweenDisney.com, some Disney-related ones.
And, like, oh, go ahead.
Well, like occasionally Star Wars, Disney Kingdoms. I've got a secret one over here. You want to hear what it is?
Sure.
Black Hole.
Oh,
somebody
where did you get
somebody
that?
Gave it to me. Somebody, a good friend, gave it to me.
And you can also read Daniel's reviews on welcometolevel7.com. Sometimes I pop in with a review every once in a while, but more or less, if it's a review, it's probably from Daniel. So
no, just got to figure out Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier. Does he stay on the list of the comic files, since he does have a sidekick named Daisy Johnson?
Well, we'll find out. And you can find me at benavery.com, and you can also find us both, welcometolevel7.com. Thank you so much for listening. And Daniel, we did forget. There's one element of Ant-Man that kind of bothered me.
Is it the fact that he's just a hot mess?
No. No, it's the fact that when he goes to buy action figures and quotes about the Kobayashi Maru, he just reminds me a little bit too much of myself. Maybe that's the problem. But, Daniel, all I have to say is, you know, I might quote Star Trek stuff. I might buy action figures, but I don't buy multiple covers of the same comic. Unfortunately, Daniel, you do, don't you?
Sometimes.
Oh, you're one of those.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
So, yeah, been another one.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I record about Star Wars, huh?
About post-credit.
Well, this is post-credit. Whoops.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, hang on.
I'm in another variant.
I need to read something real quick, and then we can record about Star Wars, if I can find it. Welcome.
Yeah, what? Yeah, agents. I ordered the Hastings Shield number one variant, too.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
This is the end of the podcast. Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Doodle.mx network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at Noodle.mx. All right. I'm ready to talk Star Wars. And now I just said that to you, but I haven't stopped recording, so everyone, comicbooktimemachine.com, find out what we think about Star Wars. Bye.
Star Wars!